Good evening. It's sometime in Elul of Tafshin Pei. And okay, we're on our 17th shiur, and we are actually starting the second chapter at this point, which is very exciting. And what we're going to be doing is taking a step back, basically, before we take a step forward. And this is getting into an entirely new area, which will eventually lead us to a very interesting understanding of Tefillah. Marachoshnia. This is the second chapter. Tefillah Chaye Sha'a. Tefillah is Chaye Sha'a. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos, when it talks about Tefillah as Chaye Sha'a, differentiates between Tefillah as Chaye Sha'a, as that which deals with the moment, as opposed to Torah, which is Chaye Olam, which is something more eternal. And the simplest understanding, the Gemara seems to be saying that Tefillah is of less importance than Torah. The question there is, should a person hurry their davening to get to Tefillah? Should a person hurry their learning in order to be able to start davening? And it seems to be almost a comparative thing. Obviously, something that is for Sha'a, something that's for an immediate need, is going to be less important than something eternal as the words of Torah. But the Das Tefillah explains to us that Tefillah Chaye Sha'a, that the connection between Tefillah and the here and now is much deeper. It's a much deeper idea. And he's going to try to explain to us exactly what this is. I'm going to skip the passage that he quotes here only because he's going to start with it at the beginning of this chapter. Perek Aleph. Inyan Hazman. Again, I apologize for those of you who are new to the shiur. This is a scan that I'm using on Hebrew books of the original Sefer, which messed up some of the letters, but it's the best thing we've got until such time as everybody tells me they have such a Sefer. You really should go out and buy the Sefer. But we'll do the best we can. I have the real version in front of me that says Inyan, not Egin, but Inyan Hazman V'chovas Ha'avodabo. The idea of Zman. Have you ever thought of Zman, time, as something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and something that plays a role in the reason that we're here? Inyan Hazman. The chovas ha'avodabo and the requirement, what it is that we need to do to relate to a world that is inside of time. The Gemara says as follows, Mehechan, and really the Rishalmi, most versions of the Rishalmi have Me'ikan. Me'ikan lamdu shalosh tfilot. This is a very not well-known Gemara, of course, because it appears in the Jerusalem Talmud and not in the Babylonian Talmud. I would guess that those of you who have heard of this Gemara have heard it because I've quoted it before from this Sefer. I doubt that many of you have had a chance to learn the Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos even. But we know that the Bavli in Maseches Brachos asked the question, where did we get three tefillos a day from? Famous question, two famous answers. Answer number one, three tefillos from three avos. Okay. Makes sense. Doesn't really make sense, but makes sense on the surface. We'll buy it. Number two, where did we get three tefillos from? From the fact that there are three karbanos. There's only really two karbanos. There's only two daily karbanos a day. Yeah, but then there's the nighttime when those karbanos are dealt with. They are burned. And that is maybe an explanation of why the three tefillos are not equivalent. We know that Shacharis and Mincha are a greater chiyuv of some sort, and that Ma'ariv is somehow a little less. So that's because there was the Korban Tamid of Shachar, the Korban Tamid of the afternoon, and then night was not quite as necessary. If they had finished burning all of the animal parts during the day, they didn't have anything to offer at night. Those are the two famous opinions, and we will bli neder if you stick with me for a long time. We will get through that because he discusses one of those opinions in chapter 3 and the other in chapter 4. But he starts with another opinion as to why we pray three times a day that, again, you may never have heard of, although it seems somewhat obvious. Mehechan lamdu gimel tefilos. From where did they get the fact that there are three tefilos a day? Rav Shmuel bar Nachman Amar, keneged gimel pe'amim, shehayom mishtane al habrios. It's there to correspond to the three times when the day changes on the creations. There are three times that the world changes every single day. B'shachar, the morning, Adam tzarich lomar, a person has to say, Modeh ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai ve'Elokei Avosai, shehotzeisani me'afela la'ora. A person should be inspired to pray in the morning by the fact that it became light. There's something about night. There's something about afela, about the darkness of night that is scary, that is not clear, that causes fear, that causes anxiety. Thank you, God, for bringing me from darkness to light. That's one major change. When is the next major change? B'mincha. B'mincha, Adam tzarich lomar. At mincha, there's another major change. What's the major change at mincha? Well, when is the first time that mincha can be davened? Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam Shehakol Nivra. When's the first time I could daven mincha? At 12:30. Basically 12:30. What is 12:30? Not 12. 12:30. What is 12:30? 12:30 is the time that we begin to see the sun move into the western side of the sky. You can't really tell much. From 11:30 to 12:30, it kind of looks like it's straight overhead. Obviously, with scientific measurement, you can do so. You can see it immediately. But to the naked eye, the sun begins to move. The sun has now moved to the other side of the sky, and it begins to set. The Torah speaks in various places of Bein Ha'arbayim, between the evenings. What is between the evenings? Chazal understood between the time that the sun starts to set and the time it finishes setting. It starts to set on an equinox at 12:30, and then it finishes setting at 6. So 12:30 is the first time mincha is to be prayed, at the first time that the sun has now moved to the other side of the sky. Now, on the one hand, it's still day. The reality is today, when we don't look to the sky to tell time, there's really very little difference. We think of the day as a single unit. But at such a time that the sun basically was there to help us mark our days, there is a contrast, a significant difference between morning and what we call afternoon. And it's interesting, even colloquially, we speak of not daylight hours, but morning and afternoon. What does one say in the afternoon? B'mincha adam tzarich lomar. At mincha, a person is supposed to say, Yehi ratzon milfanecha. Yehi ratzon. Now that's different. How is that different than the prayer in the morning? The prayer in the morning is Modeh ani lefanecha. The morning prayer is more about praise. Thank you. Really, thank you. More about thanking Hashem for getting me up again in the morning, thanking Hashem for taking me out of night. The afternoon prayer, the theme of the afternoon prayer is a little bit different. Here, the theme of the afternoon prayer is, Yehi ratzon milfanecha, may it be your will. Elokai v'lokei avosai, Yehi ratzon milfanecha, Hashem elokai v'lokei avosai, kishem shezichisoni liros es hachama bamizrach, just as I was zoche to see the sun in the east, kach tzakeni lirosa b'ma'arav, a very strange prayer. May I be able to see it in the west. It's a little bit strange because I'm already seeing it in the west. It has already begun to move towards the west. But I suppose that the prayer means, if one is praying at about 12:30, that I should see it truly in the west. I should continue to see the sun moving. Kind of an interesting prayer. I understand the Shachris prayer a lot more, the feeling of relief having made it to the morning. I'm praying that the sun should continue to move. Now, of course, for the purpose of this discussion, Let's just say, I do realize that the sun is not moving and the earth is moving. You don't need to put that into the chat. I do realize that. But let's, this is the human experience. The human experience is it looks like the sun is moving. And I would argue, as would Rabakovsky, that that's for a reason. There's a reason why a human being experiences that the sun moves. Because everything that was created for us. So the fact that technically the earth is going around the sun and not the opposite doesn't really matter. Because we're more interested in how does a human being experience it? How does he take the things around him or her and react? So he sees, she sees the sun first on the eastern sky and then on the western sky. And there's a prayer that accompanies that. Ba'erev, at night, Adam tzarich lomar, yehi ratzon lefanach Hashem l'kai v'l'kai v'osai, k'shem, again, yehi ratzon. Again, the evening prayer is again a request. May it be your will. K'shem shahayisi ba'afela, v'hotzeisani le'ora, just as I was last night in darkness, and you brought me to the light of the morning, kach totzi'eni me'afela le'ora. So too, you should again take me from the night to the morning. Now, it's interesting. You probably have never seen, forget about never hearing that this is the source of the three tefillos. You've probably never seen these tefillos, either have I. These tefillos somehow don't make any siddur. The Gemara is not suggesting, it seems, that one say these particular things, but they underlie a cause to pray. They underlie the theme of these prayers. They underlie the theme of these prayers. The morning, which seems to be more about shevach, praising, thanking Hashem. The afternoon, which seems to be a pure request. And the evening, which references last night's chesed and asks that we see the chesed again in front of us. Okay? So says the Yerushalmi, which again is very much undercover. Rarely are you going to get this when you ask people, why do we have three tefillos? Everybody knows the answer of the avos or the karbanos. But the Yerushalmi, an earlier version, an earlier third opinion says it's because the world changes three times. Now, this Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand. If we try to understand the theme of each tefillah and why is this the theme of that, but let's just take a step back for a minute. It does kind of make sense. We do speak of Erev Vavoker Vitzaharayim. We do speak of morning, afternoon, and night. Even though the day is split up into 24 different hours, and even though we know the night is split up with before midnight and after midnight, the reality is that this is the way we experience the world, morning, afternoon, and night. And says the Yerushalmi in a very simple way, we need to be praying at these three times. We need to be praying at these three times. Our day should be filled with tefillah. Every time of the day should have its davening. And therefore, we daven once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening. It could be that we should really daven all day long, but we can't. The Gemara tells us, Ulevai she'ispalel adam kol hayom kulo, that really, in a certain sense, we should never give up that state of being with God in prayer. But we're also told to be in the world, to be part of the world. So what do? We pray once in each time period. Makes sense. Now, the reality is that although this makes sense, it's not the way that many people do it. Because people who daven with a minyan often daven mincha ma'ariv. And mincha ma'ariv seems to not be in the spirit. The concept of davening mincha ma'ariv doesn't seem to so much be in the spirit of this Gemara. It seems that the tefillos are actually split up, that mincha perhaps is really meant to be davened right away at the beginning of the afternoon, right? They all are, they're all substantially different times of the day. That's what they say. And there's logic to that. There's logic to that. If the idea of tefillah is to connect with God, then we have to connect with God in the different states of our day, in the different times of our day. There's nothing wrong halachically with davening Mincha Ma'ariv as long as it's davened at the right time. But the spirit of the idea that we should daven with him once in the afternoon and once at night is kind of lost when we chap a mincha 5 minutes before Shkia and then turn right away to Ma'ariv. But that's for another time and another discussion. What's also interesting about this Yerushalmi is that it seems that the changing of the universe, the changing of the world around us, should inspire us to pray. If you think about it, there's very little in nature that changes as quickly and dramatically and clearly as light and darkness. Trees grow, people grow, but they grow in very, very small, short ways. Have you ever thought about how remarkable it is that God created a world that perhaps the most obvious thing in the world, the sun, the thing that's easiest to see, the light outside, God created a world where that changes often and it cycles through every single day. How fascinating that is. How bad would it have been if it was dark for a few days and then light? And there are places in the world that that is so. And maybe those aren't the optimal places for someone who wants to keep the spirit of the law to live. But in most of the world, God created a reality where there's morning and there's afternoon and there's night. And you don't need to be a nuclear scientist to figure out if it's morning or afternoon or night. Again, we've lost the ability on some level to see afternoon. We don't look to the sun the way we used to. But until we had the world of electricity and the world of watches and this and that, of course you knew, you basically had a sense where the sun was. You looked up and you could see. Fascinating. Says the Mabit, one of my heroes, the Mabit, Rav Yeshua of Trani. He says, "Va'al pi shinui hazmanim elu tiknu ha'avot hatfilot." And based on the division of the day into these different times, the Avos came up with the idea of creating three different tefillos. It's not that there were three Avos and therefore we have three tefillos. Each Av felt that a certain part of the day was a time to establish a tefillah. In other words, the number three was already out there. It was built into creation. Avram Avinu tiken tefillah shachris. Shehu shinui harishon ha'haveh b'chol yom. Avram Avinu was the first Av. He therefore created a prayer for the first pre-existing time in the day. Yitzchak tiken tefillas mincha achar chatzos. And mincha, Yitzchak specifically chose afternoon. Shehu shinui hasheni ha'haveh b'chol yom. So wasn't that, how did Yitzchak think to daven in the afternoon specifically? We'll have to eventually understand what does it mean that Yitzchak added to Avram. I'll have to figure that out. I've jokingly compared it to a kid who comes back from Shana Bet in Israel and he suddenly starts davening more than his parent, right? His father was Mamish Avram Avinu, but it never occurred to him to daven Mincha. And he starts clapping, oh, Mincha, what's that? Oh, I heard from my Rebbe in Shana Allah, Shana Bet, that there's another thing called Mincha. It's very strange. Avram Avinu, we were told, kept all the mitzvos in the Torah. The Gemara tells us that he even made an Erev Tavshilin without plastic bags, without matzah, however he did it. And yet he didn't daven Mincha? Very, very strange. Why did it take Yitzchak to get a Mincha? But when Yitzchak does decide to daven Mincha, he does it because the second half of the daylight hours have already been cordoned off. He filled in the tefillah for the afternoon. The concept of afternoon already existed. It exists in creation. It's natural. There's such a thing as afternoon. Yaakov tikein tfilas arvis beknisas halayla shehu shinui hashlishi ha'ave b'chol yom. And Yaakov creates Ma'ariv at the beginning of night. What do you mean at the beginning of night? You could daven Ma'ariv most of the night. No, because it's the changing itself. When we see the earth change in front of our eyes, something about this has to inspire us to pray, remind us to pray, help us understand what prayer is about. Yes, you could daven Shacharis until 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe until 12 noon. You could daven Mincha all the way up until Shkia. You could daven Ma'ariv late into the night. But the inspiration for davening, says the Mabit, is that the world changes. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call somehow that we're supposed to pray. And based on the Yerushalmi, not simply a wake-up call that we're supposed to pray something, but it seems that it's a wake-up call to pray a certain kind of prayer that's related to whatever that time period is. It's not simply that, ooh, wow, something changed in the world. There must be a God. But somehow, the move from morning, where the sun is coming out, to afternoon, where the sun is setting, to night, where there is no sun, that is supposed to inspire us to pray a certain kind of prayer. Okay, deep stuff. It's amazing. It's deep stuff, but it's like the most obvious stuff in the world. Right? He's going to go very, very deep with this, but you're not talking about something, you're talking about something that we've all experienced every single day of our lives. But he's trying to show that this is not just an accident that the world runs this way. Kishirat avodat tefillah im marechet hazman v'talochet hashemesh. The connection of tefillah with the ongoing, with time, as time goes along, and the move of the sun, hi sugya hatu'una libun. Okay, libun really means to make something very, very hot and white, but it means to make something clear. This whole thing begs us to understand it better. What is this? What is this connection between prayer and the movement of time and the movement of the sun? In order to understand this, aleinu lehitbonen tchila b'mahutam shel chilufim v'hishtanuyot eila. First, we have to figure out, what does it mean that the world changes? What does it mean that there's such a thing as time? What is time? And what is the connection between time and the world changing and the sun moving? Chayavim anu lehaskil b'musag, we have to understand this idea, zman. What is zman? What is time? And this is how we'll start. He always gets very dramatic before he gets in. And with this, we start. I love that he writes that way. Okay. Whenever we're looking at a deep concept, we're going to want to look at the Maharal. Right? When we're going to look at a, I wouldn't say a deep concept, a basic word, a number, a concept, a global kind of thing, and try to understand what is its real significance. One of the best places is always going to be somewhere in the writings of the Maharal. The Maharal is about 15 Svarim, so that doesn't mean you're going to know exactly where to go. But so says the Maharal. Watch this. The Hahavaya Shehi Bizman. Yeshba Hishtanut. The creation, matter, the world, that is under time. We in this world who are under the rubric of time, we exist within time. Yesh ba hishtanut. We change. V'chol shinui hu tzar. And any change is difficult. Sounds like something you'd get from a motivational professional, right? Dr. Nissenfeld, you want to comment on this as an industrial psychologist, right? Change is difficult. Change brings tsa'ar. Sometimes it's change for the good, but it always brings tsa'ar. Time means change. Change means difficulty, means pain. Okay? Ki behei, that's what it's supposed to say. Ki behei bara Hashem yitbarach olamo. God created the world with the letter He. Okay, this year is sponsored by the letter He and the number 5. Okay, in Sesame Street language. With the letter He, God created the world. Okay, that it's supposed to say, Ki behe bara Hashem yisbarach olamo. Okay, that's what it's supposed to say there. With the letter He, God created the world. As it says in Yeshayahu, Ki beka yud He. With yud and He, okay, Ki beka Hashem tsur olamim. He created worlds. God created, the Chazal understand, two worlds with the letters Yud and He. Havayat Olam Hazeh Muchan L'chamisha Dvarim. The creation of this world was set up with 5 things. Sheyesh Bahem Havaya Asher Yesh Bahem Hashinui. They're created with 5 elements, all of which have all of which change over time, and therefore are synonymous, therefore there's going to be a certain amount of tsar. This world was created to change. Everything changes in this world. That's why this world is a world of difficulty. V'lo k'mo olam haba, and not like the next world, shenivra biyud, which was created with the letter yud, shehi ot ketana, k'mo nekuda v'lo yechalek. Okay? The letter He has a lot of pieces that you could cut it into. The letter He represents something that's in pieces, and in fact, it's highlighted by the fact that one of the pieces isn't even connected anymore to the other. The letter He represents something that is not standing on very much, that can be broken apart into pieces. He represents change. Yud, ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, yud he, the next world was created using the letter yud. Shehi ot ketana, it's a tiny, tiny letter. Kamo nekuda, like a point, velo yechalek, and it can't be broken up into pieces. Very deep idea, obviously. But he's trying to explain that this world was created in such a way that it comes apart. It is not lasting. The next world was created in a way that everything stays the same. Aval ot ha-hei she'ena nekuda rak shayach b'chilek. Everything about the letter He says, take me apart. Says, break me into pieces. That's what this world says. This world is made of larger pieces that break into smaller pieces. Things break down over time. That's the essence of this world. Ulefikach nivra mizeh hazman shehu mitchalek. And he says, and from this, in this world, was created time. Time, by definition, is broken up into moments because something is different before than it is now, than it will be in the next moment. The whole idea, as he'll explain, of time is if something is existing in time, then it can be something at point A, something different at point B, and something different at point C. The idea of time allows the passing of time, says, I was that yesterday, I'm this today, and I'll be that tomorrow. If you're not living within time, then there's no possibility for change. There's no before and after. Umizehu mitchadesh ha-havaya asher bo hashinui umagia mizeh hatzara, and through creating a world of parts, a world that could be broken into different parts, a world was created that had change, and a world was created that could have tzara, that could have difficulties. The difficulties we have is because things don't stay the same. Our needs continue to rise. Because I had something yesterday doesn't mean I'll have it today. It's a world where we constantly need new kinds of things. There's constantly tzara. Now, I'll end with this. It's been a very fascinating place he's taken us to in the last half hour. It is a fascinating question if time is a creation or not. Is time, was time created or did time always exist? Einstein created the idea or proved the idea that time only exists because of matter. There is a connection between matter and time. And if there is no matter, time does not exist. And even if matter moves at different speeds, time can speed up or slow down. Time is not an objective thing. Logically, one would imagine that time, whether you're marking it on a watch or not, is just one, two. Time continues to flow. It always flowed. It'll continue to flow. Einstein actually proved that that's not so. He was preceded, 800 years earlier by the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Mora Nevuchim that time is an accident of motion. Time is an accident of motion. Very hard to understand how the Rambam could possibly have come to this. It was against all of the philosophy of his time, but the Rambam felt that time only exists when there are things moving in it. Until things are created, until matter is created, there is no time. We can't speak about what was there before creation. Time didn't exist. You can't speak of before creation. The concept of before requires you being inside time. Time was created. The clock starts ticking at the moment of creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with the letter He, He actually created time as well as matter. We now understand that scientifically. We now understand that concept scientifically. As difficult as it is for the human mind to wrap around it, we understand that scientifically. There's no such thing as time without matter. And when God creates the world, when He creates matter at the beginning of creation, He actually creates time, and we live within that time. If God doesn't create matter, there is no time. There's a connection between the clock ticking and this substance of matter that we have in the world. And what the Maharal is explaining to us is that what they have in common is that it doesn't last. Just as every second goes on, a second closes and a new second comes in, a new second comes in, a new hour comes in, a new day comes in. Time is connected to the fact that what was isn't necessarily the same as what's going to be. Time allows for things to change. Time forces. Living within time is a reality where things are not the same tomorrow as they were today, and that, he says, is the basis of Tzara. Kedei shenuchal lidlos mimamake tarasa shemaral, in order for us to lidlos is deli, is to take out of a well. In order for us to take out of the well from the Torah of the Maharal, chayavim anu laharchiv be'er, then we have to explain a lot more. And that's Mir Tzashem, what we'll do next week. See you next week.
Before Shlomo, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.